The scripture reading this evening is from John chapter 1, the first 18 verses. Very, very familiar passage, and it teaches who our Heavenly Father is and how we come to know Him. Listen to the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because He was before me.' For from the fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who comes from the bosom of the Father. He has revealed Him. He has made Him known." What a wonderful truth that is. And the teaching of the church, found in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 9, printed in our bulletin, asks this question: what do you believe when you say, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth"? The answer is that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth with all that is in them, who also upholds and governs them by His eternal counsel and providence, is, for the sake of Christ His Son, my God and my Father. I trust Him so completely that I have no doubt that He will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul. Moreover, whatever evil He sends upon me in this troubled life, He will turn to my good, for He is able to do it, being Almighty God, and is determined to do it, being a faithful Father. What a great truth that is. Before we open these great truths of the Lord, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we look at this great truth of God, our Heavenly Father, when we say, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth," what a great confession this is. And we pray, Lord, that it may not only be a confession of our lips, but it may be a confession of our life, that we may live that way. We thank you, Lord, for Pastor Eric and his family as he ministers in the community, showing the community that God is our Father, that Jesus is our Savior, and that the Holy Spirit opens our hearts to receive it. Bless him, O Lord, and his work. Guide us now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, brothers and sisters, there was a song when I was a boy that was sung by Eddie Fisher. And it was a song that I loved myself very much. And it was "Oh My Papa." Maybe you remember that song. I remember I was at the home of a friend of mine from the west side here, whose mother had died, and now his father had died. And he was an orphan boy. And he was a friend of ours. And we were at his uncle's house where he lived, watching television on a Saturday evening. And it was the Eddie Fisher program. And Eddie Fisher began to sing, "Oh, mine papa, to me he was so wonderful. Oh, my papa, he was so good. He took me on his knee and filled my heart with laughter. Oh, my papa, to me he was so good." I think some of you maybe remember that. And I thought, I looked at my friend, and tears came down his cheeks as he thought of his papa, who had passed away, and his mama too. And he was an orphan. And he was living with his uncle and aunt. And he didn't have a papa. And I thought, how blessed my brother and I, who were both there with him, how blessed we are that we have a father and a mother who really love us and who have brought us up in the truth of God's Word. My dad was the minister of West Leonard CR Christian Reformed Church across Leonard Street here. And that boy was too. And his dad's funeral was in that church. And I was just so very thankful that we had a father and a mother who really cared for us and loved us. And I thought of my friend whose father and mother had both died. And he was a boy of about 14 years old. And he needed a father really badly. He did have a wonderful uncle. Many of you probably knew him. And then I thought of this wonderful truth that God is our Father. And that my friend, even though his earthly father had died, he still has a father in heaven. And that our Father in heaven cares for us and loves us. And he will only do good for us. He is the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father too, for Christ's sake. And what a wonderful thing that is, that he provides for us all that we need for body and soul. And he even turns evil into good. And so how wonderful it is to know our Heavenly Father. We're going to look at that tonight. First of all, who he is. Who is our Heavenly Father? Secondly, his relationship to us. And thirdly, let's look at his fatherly hand. First of all, who is he? Who is God, our Heavenly Father? Well, the Heidelberg Catechism addresses that question. What do you mean and what do you confess when you say, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth"? And the answer is that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is my God and Father, and that he upholds and governs all things by his eternal counsel and providence. He created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, and he upholds them. And I can trust him so completely that I have no doubt that he will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul, turn evil into good, because he's able to do it being Almighty God, and willing because he's our wonderful Heavenly Father. That's a wonderful thing. Notice that our Lord Jesus Christ is identified. He's identified. That our Heavenly Father is identified not as the Father of the Son, though that's very true. He is not identified as the Creator, although that is true and it's also mentioned. But He is identified as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's very important and very significant. You will find that in Paul's writings almost throughout all of the books he wrote, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ blesses us with all the blessings in the heavenly places. That's in Ephesians. It's in Colossians. It is in Romans. It's in Corinthians. It is in Thessalonians. It's in nearly every book that Paul wrote. That's how Paul, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, describes God. That he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's very interesting, because He is related to us through Jesus Christ. And we would not know Him except through Jesus Christ. That's the point of this first chapter of John. No one has seen God at any time. But the only begotten who was in the bosom of the Father, He has made Him known to us. He has revealed Him to us. We would not know God if Jesus hadn't done it. That's why also He is called the Word of God. He is the Word. He is the means by which God is communicated to us. That's a wonderful thing. Now, when you greet someone or meet someone that you hadn't known before, and you, if you're like I am, you like to find out a little bit about that person. What was his wife's maiden name? Where are they from? And you do that in order to see if there is some connection. And often there is. There's a connection. And that is what we're doing here. Who is God the Father? He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we may know Him through Jesus Christ. It's only through Christ that we approach our Heavenly Father. It is only in Christ that we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's only in Christ. And that's a wonderful truth. It's a glorious truth. That Jesus is the one who makes Him known to us. Now, it's very important to understand, too, that the Father and the Son are co-equal and co-eternal with the Holy Spirit. In our experience, when you speak of a Father and a Son, you are speaking about two generations. Your son, if you have a son, like we have four sons and one daughter, these children are all about 20 to 25 to 30 years younger than we are. And that's about what a generation is. Now, when we speak of God the Father and God the Son, is there a generational gap? Is there a generational difference between the Father and the Son, so that the Father was first, then later the Son came? Oh, no. No, no, no. That was really the first major heresy in the Christian church. Satan tried to destroy the church by persecution, but that didn't work, because the blood of the martyrs became the seed of the church. Then Satan tried to destroy the church by saying that Jesus is a creature who was made by God, a great creature. That was the heresy of Arianism, because his slogan was, there was a time when the Son was not. He came into being later. Just like we as a father have sons that are younger than we are. They came later than we did. That's not the way it is with God. And that great controversy was settled in the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. And the church came together and affirmed the biblical doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. And the Nicene Creed says it so beautifully. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, who is God of God, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and our salvation was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. That affirms clearly for the entire church that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And that when we speak of the Father and the Son, we are not speaking of one who came later. He is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. He is true and eternal God. There is none beside this one true God whom we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's a wonderful truth. And that's how we know God, through Jesus Christ. He makes Him known to us. If someone wants to know about God, listen to Jesus. He will tell us. That's one of the purposes for Jesus coming. He came to reveal the Father. He came to show the Father's heart. He came to show the Father's power. The Father is the creator of heaven and earth and everything in it. As we affirm in this, in the truth of God, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and when Jesus was here on earth, He showed how He did it. Jesus showed how the Father created everything that He created. Look at Jesus' miracles. There were 5,000 people, and there were 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What did Jesus do? He prayed and thanked the Lord for the food and then distributed the bread, and He made bread. He didn't have to have grain first to make it. He simply made it. That's how God did it in the beginning. He spoke and it came to pass, says Psalm 33. He commanded and it stood fast. And immediately there was bread and there was fish for at Jesus' word, at His command. And then when He was on the Sea of Galilee, He simply spoke. And the winds and the waves obeyed Him. He is Almighty God, and He shows how God created. His first miracle, He was invited to a wedding. And the master of the ceremonies came to Him and said, they're out of wine. They're out of wine. Well, what a terrible thing it is to be out of wine. So Jesus said, what have I to do with you? Mine hour is not yet come. And then Mary says to the master of the feast, she says, just leave it to Him. And Jesus said to the servants, and there were 6 barrels of water. 6 barrels of water that were used to catch the rain off the roof. And Jesus said to the servants, You take and draw water from those barrels and give it to the master of the feast. And so they did, and while they did it, that water which came from the roof, it was not purified water, it was ordinary rainwater. It was turned into wine. And the master of the feast tasted it and said, "Here you've saved the very best for last." This was his first miracle. Jesus made water into wine, and that wine had the appearance of age. You know, wine takes a long time to make. But Jesus made it by the word of his mouth. That's how God created. He spoke and it came to pass. He commanded and it stood fast. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that whole description in Genesis 1 and 2 is real history. It's not legend. It's not saga. It's not myth. It's not poetry. It does have some poetic features, like there's a parallelism between days 1 and 4, days 2 and 5, day 3 and 6. There's a parallel there, and that's true. But that doesn't take away the fact that what was commanded happened. God created the heavens and the earth at the word of his power. And Jesus teaches us that. He said in the beginning, God made male and female. And a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one. That's what Jesus taught, as well as it's taught in Genesis chapter 2. So how do we know about our Father? It's through Jesus Christ. He revealed him to us. And he opens our heart to receive him. That is his identity, God's identity, and it's his relationship to us is through Jesus Christ. There is a limitation here. God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father too for Jesus' sake. And he is the Father of all humanity because he's the maker of them all. But that does not mean that all mankind will be saved. Only those will be saved whom God has chosen and has adopted into his family. And Jesus again said, "Many are called, few are chosen." If a person rejects the Lord Jesus Christ and turns his back on the gospel, he will suffer consequences. Those consequences are eternal. And that's why the gospel is repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. As the prophet says, turn ye unto the Lord, forsake your evil way, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So he is the Father of all men in the sense of the creator of all men, but he is the unique Father, the loving Father, the faithful Father of his children, of all those who are in Christ Jesus, whom he has adopted as his own. You know the story of the two couples who were not able to have children. The one couple went to, these were the old days. That doesn't happen today anymore, but that's what happened years and years ago. They went to an orphanage, and the one couple looked over all the little children and only wanted one that had no problems. They only wanted one that was pretty, that was cute, that had, to their opinion, good talent, good mind, and everything was beautiful for this, and they said, okay, we'll take that one. The other couple went to an orphanage, and they looked over the children, and they looked for one that was in need, that maybe had a hair lip, was not so cute, was not so strong, and they chose that weak child as theirs. And they took that child home and they brought it up, and it was strong and strengthened, and they did that. Now, how did God choose us? You know what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 to 29? Paul tells us what kind of people God chose. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29, he says, "For look at your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. For God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. He chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." That's how He did it. He chose us while we were weak, while we were dead in trespasses and sins. He saved us, not because we were noble or wise or strong. He chose the weak. He chose us because He loved us. He adopted us. We're children of God by adoption, not natural children. There's only one natural Son of God, and that's Jesus Christ. We are children by adoption. And how wonderful it is that He predestinated us unto adoption. Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5. It's all of grace. "'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee, hadst thou not chosen me." Do you believe that? It's all of grace. Amazing grace. That saved, as John Newton says, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace, grace alone, through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. It's all of grace, and it's all of God. So He is our Father for Jesus' sake. What a wonderful truth that is. The tender love a father has for all his children, dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship Him in fear. You know that. Now, what is His father hand? His father hand. You know, the catechism says that so beautifully. So beautifully. "I will trust Him so completely that I will in no ways doubt that He will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul. Moreover, whatever evil He sends upon me, In this troubled life, he will turn to my good, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God and willing, being a loving Father. We sang a little bit ago, Potter and the clay, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. You know, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 64 of Isaiah, this is what God says through the prophet Isaiah. In chapter 64, he says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. The potter and the clay. Do you know that a potter's house was the very first manufacturing plant? You know what the word manufacture means? Manu is hand. That's Latin for hand. A manual shift in the car is a shift that you do by hand. So manu is hand. Facture comes from the verb to make. And a manufacturing plant is something where things are made by hand. And the very first manufacturing plant in civilized people is a potter's house. And you got three things in a potter's house. First of all, you've got the potter. And the potter has understanding. The clay doesn't. The potter has understanding. The potter has a goal. The potter has a purpose. And he wants to put that purpose on the clay. He wants the clay to respond to his hands and his feet. In the potter's house, there's the potter. Wise, with good thoughts about what the clay is going to become. He's got a good plan for it. He wants that clay to become a beautiful vase or a bowl or something else that the clay can become. And then you have the clay. The clay is like we are. God is the potter. We are the clay. We have a mind. We are not just a stock or a block. No, that would never work. You couldn't do anything with a piece of clay, with a piece of stone or a piece of wood unless you had a lathe, and then you had to have something sharper than that product to mold it. No. The clay is something that's soft. It's got to yield to the potter's hand. And then you have the potter's wheel. It's a very important part of the potter's house, is the potter's wheel. And the potter's wheel was a plate that was round, and the center of the plate had an axle that went down into a stone that had a carved spot for that axle. And just above the bottom was another smaller plate for the potter's feet to kick that plate so that it would go around and around and around and around. And as the potter's wheel went round and round, the potter molded with his hands that clay into just exactly what he wanted. That's what the potter's house was. Those three things: the potter, the clay, and the wheel. Now the potter is God. That's what Isaiah 64 says. The potter is our Father. And the potter has a plan. And he's got a plan for all of his children. And it's a good plan. And it's a wonderful plan. And the clay must yield to the potter's hand. And then what is the wheel? The wheel are the circumstances of your life. Everything you go through, everything you experience is part of that potter's wheel, and it's through the revolving of that wheel that the potter puts his plan into place in your life. As that wheel turns, we are experiencing what the Lord sends in our life. For Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers, it looked like it was disaster. And then he was bought by Potiphar and put into his house, and he was blackmailed by Potiphar's wife, and he ended in prison, and it looked like it was not only bad, it was going from bad to worse. And he interprets the dreams of a butler and a baker, and it comes to Pharaoh later that there was a Hebrew slave in the prison who could interpret dreams, and Pharaoh calls him and calls him to interpret his dream, and it comes true, and Joseph is made the second highest in the kingdom. That potter's wheel, it looked terrible at one time, but God turns evil into good. And he's able to do it being Almighty God, and he's willing also being our loving Father. That is who our Father is. He's busy in your life and in your children's life, in your parents' life. He is busy doing it. He is the potter, I am the clay. He is molding us and making us after His will. While I am yielded, that's our responsibility, to yield to the potter's touch. And it may seem hard at some time. It may seem very disagreeable at some time, but the potter has his plan. And He is doing what is good for us, even though we may not understand it at that moment. He has a plan, and He loves us. Never forget that. He loves us with an everlasting love. And He's making us into the kind of people He wants us to be. You know where the last time is that you read about the potter's house or the potter's field in the Bible? Remember the 30 pieces of silver that Judas got for betraying the Lord? And when he saw that Jesus was going to be crucified, he ran back to the temple and threw the money and said, "I've betrayed innocent blood." And the leaders of the temple said, We can't use that money. It was the money of blood. So they bought the potter's field. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, you read about the potter's field, the potter's house too. And there was some pottery that did not yield to the potter's touch. And it was thrown into the potter's field. But the potter's field was bought with blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. So there's hope even for those who have resisted. Maybe they have turned their back on the Lord throughout their whole life, but at the end, like the thief on the cross said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." There's hope. Even for someone who has turned away from the Lord, there is hope. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or imagine. He can turn the most rebellious heart to Him. He's done it. He is able to do it, being Almighty God, and He is willing also, being a loving Father. But there's only one way back. Only one way back. And that is by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. For there is no other name given among men whereby we may be saved than that great name of Jesus. And the thief on the cross repented. He said to his fellow thief, who railed on Jesus too, he said, "What are you saying? What are you doing? We are here justly, but this man has done nothing wrong." That was repenting. And he witnessed to his fellow thief, and then he says to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me." And our Savior said, "Today you will be with me in paradise. Verily, verily, today you'll be with me in paradise." So the Lord is the potter, we are the clay, and He's molding you and He's molding me. And so we say, "Have thine own way, Lord. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill me with thy spirit, that all may see that Christ only always lives in me." Oh, may the Father of God, that He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father too, for His sake, that He will provide for us all things needed for body and soul, and He even turns evil into good, because He is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being our loving Father. Is He your Father? Of course He is. Oh, may each of us know Him better. And may we know His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and love Him more and more. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. We thank You, O Lord our God, that You are our Father. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, that You're in control of our life, and that You are able to do far more than we can even ask or imagine. Lord, increase our faith, forgive our sins, and help us to love You more. Thank You, our Father. In Jesus' name, amen.